Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. What a day that will be. I love that song. It just helps me to picture that one day, no more sorrow, no more pain, walk with Christ, walking with fellow believers, talking about all the ways that God worked with us and worked through us to achieve his will. And man, that will be a glorious day. Amen. Let's open with a word of prayer. If you would stand with me, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful, Lord. We know we lived in a sin-filled world. Lord, and people, even us, disobey your will, disobey your commands. And Father, the result of that is what we see all around us, the suffering, the sorrow. Lord, your desire is to bring us pure joy and to fellowship with us. And so this morning, Father, we just focus on how great you are. The Lord we serve, the Lord who loves us intimately, who knows every hair on our head, walks with us through everything we experience, and sent his Son so that we might be redeemed, so that we could spend eternity with you in heaven. And Father, we just give you great thanks. And we pray this morning as we gather as your people, may your Spirit work in a mighty way. Father, once again, we have not come to gain knowledge. We have come to be transformed. We've come to hear from you and from your word. And so, Father, we pray to that end that our fellowship is sweet, and we worship you in spirit and truth, and we give you all the glory. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
All right. Well, good morning. I hope I'm on. Okay. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and to share a little bit about God's work in a different part of the world. We're actually in Kenya, East Africa. Please pray for Kenya. Kenya has had a lot of challenges with coronavirus. They actually had a 22% increase in cases in the last 3 months. They actually had to shut down 5 counties. So if you flew into Nairobi and these other 5 counties, you couldn't leave. So everything was on lockdown. So the missionaries were very frustrated at that time and discouraged, as you can imagine. Even last year, flights were canceled. You couldn't even leave the country. That was actually, our term got extended. We were planning to go 2 years, and we actually ended up in 3 years because everything was just locked down. So if you can pray for Kenya, actually Uganda, the country right next to Kenya, they're in lockdown right now. So it's hitting all different parts of Africa. It's like it goes away, and then it comes back, and now they're trying to figure out vaccinations and all those things. The Lord is certainly in control of all that, if you could keep that in your prayers. Before I get started and we see our video, I'd like to briefly tell you about our display table as you go out the doors. This is our new prayer card. This is myself, my wife Carrie, our daughter McKenna. She's now 13 years old, hard to believe. Camille is 10. I won't say how old I am, make myself feel old. But anyway, I believe it was about 20 years ago, I was in the Bible study in this church. I was in Grand Rapids for 4 years. I worked at Old Kent Mortgage, and then I came here over in 44th and Patterson, and then I came here during the week for the Bible studies. So that was years and years ago. So it's nice, brings back a lot of memories coming back here, even driving through downtown, seeing all the colleges. This brings back so many memories. My brother-in-law is actually from Grand Rapids, grew up in the Kentwood area. So his dad was one of the pastors over at Calvary Baptist. So there's a lot of history here in Grand Rapids. So also on our card, you'll see a map of Kenya. This is Kitale. This is where we live. We live 2 hours from Uganda. If the Lord would lead anyone to give, our contact information is there. We walk by faith, not by sight. We trust the Lord month by month, just trusting in his provisions, as you all do too. And we know that you're a very missions-minded church, and God will bless you for that. As you send to missions, he'll take care of your needs. These are very good gospel tracts. If you're here this morning and not sure of your salvation, please pick one of these up. They're on the table. These are very well illustrated. They're provided to me by another church here in Michigan. If you have lost friends, neighbors, family, coworkers, don't know how to reach them with the gospel, this is an excellent way. And so feel free to pick all these up. And the mission field certainly just is not in Africa. There's a mission field right here. As we step out the doors today, there's people all around this area that need the Lord and need the gospel. I was at a church in West Virginia, where I'm from, and on the exit, as you walked out, it said, "You are now entering the mission field." Is that not true? As we step out today, we're entering the mission field of all the people around that need to hear the word of God. There's also a place that you can sign up for our prayer letters. If you would just please put your email, I will get you our letters monthly. So that's all in the back. Feel free to look at that. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time this morning. Lord, thank you for this time to share from your word, see a different part of the world in Kenya, East Africa. Pray that you would work in our hearts and our lives and just allow us to just see a different part of the world where you're working, and that we would pray, and that we would give, and we would even go personally, however you're leading, in whatever way you're leading, that we would be submissive and just respond to your call. Help me this morning as I share. Help me to be articulate and well understood, and that we would have many challenges from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Coronavirus in Kenya was not fun. It was very challenging. There were a lot of days where we wondered if we were going to get it, where would we even be treated? Our town in Kitale has very limited medical facilities. As I shared before, our daughter Camille was sick for a year with amoeba. It was a very recurrent amoeba, and you can get sick very easily in Africa. By one drop of water, you can become sick. I've had malaria, I've had typhoid, I've had amoeba, I've had all the fun things you can get in Africa. So you think of just the medical facilities of staying healthy. Let's look in the Word this morning in Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. We're going to see many verses here. I've got it here in my notes. It's an excellent verse. Isaiah 41, 10. You know, life is full of storms, is it not? The Bible says you're either in a storm now, you're coming out of a storm, or you're heading into a storm. That's just kind of how life is. You know, as you're sharing this morning about all the people that have passed away this week, life is fragile. We have to trust the Lord each day to provide for us. It's unknown. It's uncertain. But verses such as these we can claim in times of trial. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's good enough by itself. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We don't have to be afraid. He will help us. He will strengthen us. He will uphold us. Isn't that encouraging and comforting as we go through the trials of life? Now, I'm also reminded of Nahum. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. He's a stronghold. That's a great verse to memorize. Nahum 1, 7, a stronghold that we can cling to in the trials of life. Missions has a lot of challenges, but it's also very rewarding. We trust God to reward in his own time and plan. Listen to the following true story. It's entitled, Not Home Yet. An old missionary couple had been working in Africa for years and was returning to New York to retire. They had no pension, their health was broken, and they were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. They discovered they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from one of his hunting expeditions. No one paid any attention to them. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president's entourage with passengers trying to catch a glimpse of the great man. As the ship moved across the ocean, the old missionary said to his wife, "Something is wrong. Why should we have given our lives in faithful service for God in Africa all these years and have no one care a thing about us? Here this man comes back from a hunting trip and everybody makes so much over him, but nobody gives two hoots about us." "Dear, you shouldn't feel that way," his wife said. "Well, I can't help it. It just doesn't seem right." When the ship docked in New York, a band was waiting to greet the president, and the mayor and other dignitaries were there, and the papers were full of the president's arrival, yet no one noticed the missionary couple. They slipped off the ship and fell in a cheap flat on the east side, hoping the next day to see what they could do to make a living in the city. That night, the man's spirit broke. He said to his wife, "I can't take this. God is not treating us fairly." His wife replied, "Why don't you go into the bedroom and tell it to the Lord?" A short time later, he came out from the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. His wife asked, "Dear, what happened?" "Well, the Lord settled it with me," he said. "I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we returned home. And when I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, 'But you're not home yet.'" Is that not true? We are not home yet. Let's be faithful until we get home and he calls us home. And he'll reward us in his time and in his plan. Even when others seem to be rewarded, when he calls us home, we'll be rewarded in due time. Many verses in the Bible show that our God is a missionary God. Think of the following verses. Psalm 96, verse 3. "Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people, everywhere around the world." Mark 16, 15. This is one of my favorite verses that challenged me in my call to go to the mission field. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. It's very easy to say, There he is, send him, is it not? In fact, that's what I did for many years. There he is, send him. But the Lord really worked on my heart. As I went to the mission field and saw it personally, he began to challenge me and open my eyes and show me a different part of the world that really needed to be reached with the gospel. D.L. Moody said, Let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can. That's an excellent statement. He can do more with it than you can. As you surrender to him, he'll do so much more. David Livingston, the famous missionary to Africa, if you like missionary biographies, his is an excellent one to read. He actually died on his knees praying. They found him in the morning on his knees. He said this, he said, God had only one son, and he made him a missionary. Hudson Taylor, another famous missionary, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, it is a command to be obeyed. Adoniram Judson, there is no success without sacrifice. If you succeed without sacrifice, it is because someone has suffered before you. If you sacrifice without success, it is because someone will succeed after. There is always sacrifice when it comes to success, and that's in any way, in any part of life. You know, I'm very challenged by Luke 9. Luke 9:62. This verse has challenged me for years. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. It's very easy to look back, is it not? It's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy to get our eyes off of the goal. But once we start serving the Lord, may we continue to the finish until he calls us home. I love Revelation 22, verse 12. This is a great verse to memorize if you're struggling in ministry. You know, ministry has a lot of challenges. There's a lot of valleys. There's a lot of challenges. Revelation 22, 12, encourage yourself with this verse. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. He's coming quickly, and his reward is with him. I think he's coming quicker than we realize. You know, you look in the TV and the news, the days of the evil times we're living in, I believe he's coming quickly, and his reward is with him, and he'll give in his time and in his plan. Many people like to know, how can we pray for you? I'll share a few prayer requests, and we'll see the DVD. One of my big prayer requests is for Swahili, the language barrier. I studied Swahili in Tanzania for 4 months. We learned 30 words a day for 4 months. We had 16 exams. We had to do a Swahili church service in front of our teachers. That was our final project. When I got out of Swahili class, I knew about 70% of the language. I'm still learning it. My man that you'll see on the video is my tutor. And many times he'll talk to me in Swahili. He'll hand me a Swahili paper. No English. That's kind of the role sometimes. And so it's exhausting if you can think teaching in Swahili for an hour and trying to be understood in an hour. Usually my head is swimming after being in the language for an hour. Just listen to the differences. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now in Swahili. Kwamana mungu alipenda ulimwengu kiasi chakutoa mwanai peke ili kila mtu amwaminie asipote Bali, Awe, no zima, wamilele. And that's just one verse. So if you can imagine the challenges of the language, I need a lot of prayer for that. Homesickness, this is another big struggle. Our family struggles with homesickness. God has provided grace. You can imagine being thousands of miles away from your culture and your family with COVID, all of those challenges. A lot of challenges in that regards. Friends, the Lord provided a family this past term that has a daughter who is our daughter's age. Our daughters are much happier now. Having friends, just having a friend makes them so much happier. So please pray that these people will stay long term. They're going to street children's ministry. They plan to be there long term. So just keep them in your prayers. Cultural fatigue, driving on the roads. The old joke is, how do you know a drunk driver in Africa? Well, he drives straight because you got to dodge all the potholes in the roads. There's literally 2 feet deep potholes or a foot deep potholes. You can literally split your tire on some of the potholes. I had a missionary friend who did. He split a tire on a pothole. I drive back roads. I'm a chicken. I believe I'm a smart chicken. In Nairobi, it's very hard to drive. 4 million people. They have roundabouts where traffic can enter from 4 different ways. You have to have eyes in the back of your head as you enter traffic. The congestion in Nairobi is stifling. It's one of the busiest cities for traffic in America. Sometimes I get off the buses and I'm walking faster than the cars are moving. You can sit in traffic for 3 hours going to your work in Nairobi. So just prayers for the cultural fatigue. Schooling for our daughters, you'll see this on the DVD. My wife has a degree in education, but she's praying about high school for our daughters. That's very overwhelming for her, if you can pray for that. Medical issues and facilities, just staying healthy. One drop of water and you can become sick. I actually had amoeba last year. I've even had a typhoid and malaria twice. It's none of it's fun. So just pray that the Lord will keep us healthy as we serve. Traveling, just the Lord would keep us safe. Having faith and trust in God. Trusting in Him to provide the grace and strength each day. The dependency, I've mentioned this before. One of the biggest challenges for missionaries is the dependency. Many times the nationals depend on the missionary to provide the things for them rather than looking to the Lord. And from day one, when I'm training the men that I'm training, I'm saying to them, look to the Lord. Trust God. If they're trusting in me, what happens if I get transferred or have to leave or something such as that? The ministries will collapse. They need to be self-supporting, self-sustaining, and Lord willing to find men with jobs who are employed, who work with their own hands. It's actually a biblical model. If you think of the Apostle Paul being a tent maker, just the idea of working with their own hands, the Lord would provide younger men between 20 to 30 years old with jobs already to train and to go start churches in their villages. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You know, I'm reminded of Psalm 37:25. David said, I've been young and I'm now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, God will take care of you all through your life if you'll trust him. And these are the kinds of verses that I instill into the men that I'm training. Now, as we see the video, I'll briefly describe it. We have a prison ministry in the NX prison. It is about 150 inmates. This past term, I was allowed to show films in the prison. They actually had a TV, so I bought a DVD player and started showing evangelistic films. We've shown the Jesus film. We've shown biographies, missionary biographies, or the idea of Bible characters in the Bible. Usually when I show the films, the building's packed. That's a treat for them, and that's an excellent outreach opportunity to be able to share the gospel. We also have a hospital ministry. My wife has been helping these babies for years. Many weeks she will go, and she'll be so overwhelmed, she'll say, I don't have enough supplies to help all of these babies. You'll see them on the video. And lastly, we have a discipleship and church planning ministry out in a village called Taito. Taito is about 15 minutes from Kitale, and I have an older gentleman named Daniel Juma who is helping me to recruit the men to train, and you'll see this all on the film. And let me just say, I do have extra copies of the film if anybody would like one. I believe I've already sent one to the church, but if you would like one, please let me know. So at this time, we're going to see the film. If someone could please get the lights.
Welcome to God's Harvest Field in Kitale, Kenya. My name is Nathan Radford, and my wife Carrie and our two daughters, McKenna and Camille, serve in Kenya. Kenya is known for its variety of animals and game parks. Many visitors come from all over the world to see the wonderful array of different animals, sights, and sounds. The animals are truly beautiful, and it is wonderful to spend time in nature and see God's creation. There are all different groups of people in Kenya and over 40 tribes represented. You can see some of the lifestyle from these photos. Kitale is a small agricultural and farming town located about 8 hours' drive from Nairobi, the capital city. The closest big city is Eldoret, Kenya, which has trained many winners of marathon races in the past. Kitale has a diverse history, and as you can see, it is very congested with motorcycles, people walking close to the roads, and those selling goods and vegetables. Before we get into the ministry, please allow me to say a little about the family. Our daughter McKenna is now 12 years old, and our second daughter Camille is 9. They are well-behaved daughters, and we are thankful to God for them. My wife Carrie stays busy homeschooling them throughout the school year. Please pray for my wife, as this is a big task, and we ask for wisdom from God for her as she continues to educate our daughters in the years ahead. Now let us discuss the ministries in Kitale. First is the Kitale District Hospital Ministry. My wife Carrie has been involved in this ministry for many years. As the Lord provides, she provides gospel tracts in the language of Swahili to the mothers, as well as much needed supplies such as blankets, hats, and other clothing as provided. There are so many needs in the hospital ministry, and we do what we can with what God provides. We are so thankful to each one who has prayed for, sacrificially given to, or personally come to see this ministry. May the Lord bless you for your ministering to those in need. Next is the prison ministry. I, Nathan, have been involved in this ministry for several years as well. I am currently located at the Annex Prison in Kitale. Annex Prison usually averages between 100 to 150 inmates at any given time. I do my best to evangelize, reach them with the gospel, and disciple them in their faith with the ultimate goal of spiritual growth. Last is the church planting and discipleship ministry. I, Nathan, have been working with a Kenyan man named Mr. Daniel Juma. Mr. Juma has been such a blessing and has really assisted me this past term. He is pictured here with his wife. He allowed me to meet in his house and teach the Bible and has also been a huge blessing with recruiting men to train. Pictured are him along with other students that I have been training this past term. We are currently located in a village called Taito, and my prayer is that many men would be grounded in their faith, discipled solid in their faith, with the ultimate goal of them going out to teach others and start churches in their respective areas and villages.
First of all, I'm Daniel Juma Ngobi, and I want to testify to the fact that God has blessed me with other men, and especially young men in my village, to have an opportunity to learn from the Bible. And Brother Nathan has been teaching us, and we are just going back to the roots of the Bible, away from the traditional ways of teaching Bible in this country of Kenya. And we are learning a lot of new things. We are so encouraged, and we are very surprised that the Bible has a lot that we've never even heard before. And now we have an opportunity to learn from the Word of God things that we never had before. And we thank God for bringing us a good teacher of the Word of God. Nathan is really leading us into some things that to us they are very new, and it's just taking us back to the roots of the Bible. And we feel, and personally I feel, we are getting prepared well so that after going through this study and this course, we'll be ready to go and teach other people from our villages to go back to the Bible and check out their Christian life and serve God in a better way. Thank you very much.
To say the least, coronavirus was a huge challenge this past term, and it really affected ministry outreach and efforts for the past several months. Please pray with us that coronavirus will get under control in Kenya and fewer people will be infected. God is in control. We thank the Lord for the opportunities He has provided for us to serve Him. Please pray for us as we desire to be faithful and serve where He leads. God does not need us, but we certainly need Him. Each of you are such a blessing, and we thank God for you. May God bless you all.
This morning with a little more description of the ministries. I mentioned the Annex Prison. It is one of the smaller prisons. It has between, I believe, about 100 to 150 inmates. The prisoners stay on a large compound. They have one officer in charge present. The atmosphere is very quiet and peaceful. I'm very thankful for that. I used to be in the main prison, and this is a much smaller and more peaceful environment. Of course, the main prison definitely needs workers as well, so pray for that. I just felt the Lord leading me to a different prison. There's actually four prisons in Kitale. There's three men's prisons and one women's prison, and they're all within the Kitale area. I think of Hebrews 13:3. Hebrews 13:3 says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." One of the main things I hear from the prisoners is they feel forgotten. They feel forgotten by society. They feel forgotten by their family, their friends. Their neighbors, many times they're not visited, and so I just try to reach them with the love of Christ in the best way that I can. You saw the hospital ministry, Psalm 82, verses 3 to 4. Psalm 82, 3 to 4 says, "Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked." There's a lot of injustice with that you see in the hospital ministry. In fact, a lot of times the people when they visit come out crying because they've never seen anything like that. You think of two or three people in a bed, the conditions, the babies just crying sometimes, and just so many needs, and we just do the best we can with what God provides. So if the Lord would lead anyone to do a care package, we do the best to get the supplies to the hospital. If anyone would ever donate, we have a person in Nairobi who sends the supplies up to us. The last ministry I will briefly mention is the Church Planting Discipleship Ministry. I was blessed this past term. Daniel, you saw in the video, actually opened up a room where he lives and offered it to me as part of the ministry where I could train men there. And then he helped me with the men with recruiting, and that was a huge help that he would find men for me to be training. And we were doing really well. In fact, it was the best progress I think I've ever had in any term than any term prior. Of course, COVID came in and closed things down, so pray for these men as they're continuing along and wanting to know more about the Word of God. What am I looking for in my discipleship students? First is a desire for the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Desire it, want it, have a desire, have a heart for the Word of God. Second is a hunger for the Word of God. Come hungry, not to hear from me, but to hear from the Lord. Matthew 4:4, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Come hungry to hear from him. Third is a sincere desire to follow Jesus. John 8:12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The world is a very dark place, is it not? And we need to be pointing others to the light of life. Matthew 23:11, fourth is a servant spirit. Matthew 23:11, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." The world gets that backwards, do they not? "He that is greatest shall be your servant." How many are we serving? D.L. Moody said, "The measure of a man is not how many servants he has, but how many men he serves." Is there not a lot of truth to that? How many are we serving? Lastly is a great love for people. John 13:34-35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." The idea with all this is to pass the baton from the beginning, to be training to the men, entrusting them with more responsibility as their knowledge of the word goes, and then send them to their villages to start groups, and then, Lord willing, churches down the road, to be a teacher, a trainer, an encourager, a mentor, and an assistant all in one. And that's a lot of roles to fill, but the idea of discipling them, getting them strong in the word, using the discipleship course to find those who really want to be trained in church planning and how to start a church in their villages, and then training them, discipling them, getting them teach them how to start a church, and sending them to their areas. You know, we can have all these plans, but it has to all be bathed in prayer from start to finish. D.L. Moody said, "Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure." Spurgeon said, "If you believe in prayer at all, expect God to hear you. If you do not expect, you will not have. God will not hear you unless you believe he will hear you, but if you believe he will be as good as your faith." Pray in faith, trusting God each and every step of the way. In closing, how can you be praying for us? Health. A fever in Africa can be so many different things. Many times my wife is her own doctor. If you think of being a fever can be so many different things, 10 to 15 different things, you kind of have to be your own doctor sometimes, and she gets very overwhelmed with that, so if you can pray for her. Relational, for friends, both for us and our daughters. Homesickness, I've already mentioned that. One of my big prayer requests is for spiritual fruit that remains and multiplies. Spiritual fruit that remains and multiplies. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 3:6. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Is it not the same today? We can plant and we can water, but it's God who gives the increase. How can you pray for us? For the men that I am training, for my wife and all the challenges she faces on the mission field, for safety both where we live and as we travel, for friends, for both for us and our daughters, for cultural fatigue, that we would not be burned out. It's very easy to be burned out, that we would be refreshed day by day as we serve. In regards to our financial support, we did have some donors pass away, so the Lord would lead anyone to give at all. I have our contact information on our prayer card, and we trust God for that. Hudson Taylor said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. That's a wonderful statement. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. As long as you're doing His work, His way, He'll provide every single need that you have. I love 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Psalm 62:7-8, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Thank you for allowing me this time to share about God's work in Kenya. In closing, I just want to challenge us to be available to be used wherever that is, and to use your time and opportunities wisely for the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And there's a lot of evil in our days, is there not? As we turn on the TV and listen to the radio, the days are evil. And we need to redeem the time. We need to make the best use of our time. Time is precious. It is a gift. Someone said, time is a gift. That's why they call it the present. I like that. It's a present, the time that we have to serve God. Make the best use of the time that God gives you now. Be a good steward of the time and opportunities he gives you. Time is precious. The time we have today, we'll never get it back. It's gone forever. Someone said, either you run the day or the day runs you. Is that not true? How many times has the day run me because I didn't prioritize the way that I should have? How are we doing in our time and service to God? Are we too busy to serve him and others? Let us remember the famous saying, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's close in prayer this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the many verses that we've read. Isaiah 6:8, here am I, send me. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So many verses we've seen today. I pray that we would commit ourselves anew to serving you in whatever capacity that is. And if you're working on someone's heart here this morning, I pray that they would be submissive, whether that's through praying, giving, or going. Help us just to follow you in whatever way, in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to have a time now of just invitation. If the Lord has spoken to you in any way, feel free to respond at this time. Thank you for this opportunity.